Right. Let's turn to the book of Romans, chapter 5. Romans, chapter 5. We want to read one verse as our text verse, but we're going to look at 11 verses as part of this message from Romans, chapter 5. Our message this morning is cascading blessings, and we're going to explain to you what cascading is by illustrating it as we move along in the message. But we want to read from this chapter of the book of God, Romans chapter 5. We'll read verse 1, and then, as I said, we'll look at several verses through this message. Romans 5, verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, to start with, let me ask all of you, have you ever seen pictures of waterfalls like they are in some jungle areas of the world, or even out in Washington and Oregon? There are some of these waterfalls that start way up high on a mountain top, and they fall down a rugged cliffside that is rock strewn. And as they fall, they'll hit this rock outcrop that's a flat tabletop, and they'll form a pool there, and then they'll jump off of that and form another waterfall, fall down so far and hit another rock outcrop and make a pool there, and down to another one and so on. And as you look from way up high down to the ground where that waterfall's falling, you see this multiple set of waterfalls and this multiple set of white water cascading over the side of each one of these little pool areas. And some of those things are 4 and 5 and 6 and 8 separate little waterfalls in length, and pools above them. This is what we call cascading. And that's why we chose this name for our message this morning, because what we find in this chapter of the Word of God are a group of cascading blessings from God to us that result directly from being justified by faith through the Lord Jesus Christ. It starts with justification by faith, and from that, we have a literal, as I said, cascade of blessings that come from God to us, almost like a domino effect from having been justified in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what we want to look at this morning. And as part of that, let's pick up on the first one of these cascading blessings that the writer, the Apostle Paul, mentions in this chapter. And we find it in verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, first cascaded blessing, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Have you ever thought about what a wonderful blessing it is to be at peace with God? This morning, across this world, there are literally millions, billions maybe, of people who have no peace with God. They don't have any. They're at war with God. Maybe they don't think of it overtly as being at war with God. Maybe they don't think, you know, I hate that God and I'm going to do battle with him. They usually, folks, just common folks, don't think like that. But let me just remind you, brothers and sisters, that every child of God is at peace with God because he's justified by faith. And anywhere you find somebody who has not been made just as if he had not sinned by the power of the blood of Christ, they are at enmity with God, and so they have no peace with God. Enemies, you know, aren't friends. And enemies don't have peace with one another unless some kind of peace pact is agreed to between them. And lost folks throughout the world today don't have that peace pact with God. So they are without the peace of God that passeth understanding. And so how wonderful is it this morning for you as a child of God to know that peace that passes understanding, that keeps your hearts and minds in the Lord Jesus Christ. How wonderful is it to be possessed of this peace? Peace with God, brothers and sisters, is not a right. It is not in any way something that is self-attained by somebody who really gets set on finding peace with God and so in the power of themselves search it out and seize it. That's not available that way. It is not a right. It is not something that can be bought, something that can be stolen, something that can be found by diligent search, something that can be gotten from any source except through this justification that our verse speaks of. That's the source of it. Nobody gets it any other way. And so it's a wonderful, a priceless possession of God's people this morning to have the peace of God. So the first cascaded blessing from justification by faith is that we have peace with God. Let me just briefly stick this in. Every one of you that are hearing the sound of my voice, let me ask you a question. Think with me. Think of what I'm asking. Do you really have peace with God this morning? All you've got to do is examine what you've done with the Lord Jesus Christ. Examine what is going on in your heart. Examine how your relationship is or not with the Lord Jesus Christ. And you can say, yes, I have peace with God. And I may say, how do you base that? And you can say, because I've trusted in Christ as my Savior, and He has made me in the presence of God just as if I had not sinned. And God has made peace with me. That's how you can say it. And when you can say it that way, yes, you have peace with God. If you can't say that, friend, you don't have peace with God. And there will be a settlement of that one day. So think about it. Now, the second thing we find in this cascading list of blessings from God that come from justification by faith is found in verse 2. By whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. We've got access through the grace of God to the power and ability and opportunity to stand. We have access by grace into standing capacity with the Lord. We're standing today as children of God by the grace extended to us by the Lord. And that grace comes to us because we've been justified. And so, as we look at that, we think about the fact that we are, in fact, recipients of the grace wherein we stand. You know, the psalmist once said in the 37th chapter of Psalms in verses 23 and 24, he said something that is almost mysterious. He says, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. And though he fall, he will not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with His hand. The Lord upholds the good man. Who's good? There's none good except one, and that's God. But if you're in God, if you're in Christ, justified by faith, it turns out God lists you as good. That's why the psalmist could say that. Justification by faith puts you in the position and in the category that God calls good. Not because you're good in your old Adamic human flesh, but because you're good because Christ has made you perfect in Himself. And in that state, you stand by the grace of God given to you. That's one of the cascaded blessings from God. Paul says it this way in Romans 14 and 4. In the last part of that verse, he says, yea, concerning the servants of God, he says, yea, that servant shall be holden up, for God is able to make him stand. Isn't that a wonderful, wonderful blessing cascading down from the fact that we are justified by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ? It's the grace blessing from God that we see here, brothers and sisters. It's the grace blessing from God that has supported every saint of God that ever walked the face of the earth for all of time. It's that grace that supported and enabled those martyrs of old that were killed by the millions, those millions of Baptists who were killed for the truth of God were able to stand in the face of opposition and persecution and death and say, I will not recant my faith. I will not deny the faith of God. I will not deny my Christ. They were able to do that because of the grace that God had given them by which they stood. And this all a result of that wonderful truth that they were justified by faith. They experienced the cascading of blessings to them from this great truth of God. Now this verse also has another cascaded blessing to us. I really love this. Look back at the verse with me again, and let's see something else about this. He says here in verse 2, he says, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. And listen to this phrase now. And rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. That's a cascaded blessing. What does that mean to you and me? It means that we've got something to have a steadfast confidence in, and something that is so good, so wonderful, so such a blessing that we can rejoice in it. Listen, brothers and sisters, this is something that is precious to the child of God. Because what it means is this, we're looking for a day. A day, brothers and sisters, that's a special day for every one of us. A day when this mortal that we are will have put on immortality. A day when this creature that we are will be exalted to heights that we've never known. A day when Christ will redeem us completely and wholly in Himself to be forever with Him, immortal as Him, living forever in heaven and here on the new earth, in the new earth with the great God of grace. This is rejoicing in the hope of the glory of God. We'll be raised from the corruptible to the incorruptible. We'll be lifted out of this carnal condition that we've lived in. Even if we're asleep in the grave, at that last trump, when the trump of God shall sound, we that may be dead in the grave shall rise first in that immortal body, and we'll look like Jesus. We'll be like Jesus. And those that are alive and remain at His coming, we'll also be caught up together to meet with Him in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. This is the hope of glory. This is the hope of the glory of God that we have an expectancy of, a steadfast, confident expectancy of. And that is a cascaded blessing from God. How in the world could you ever imagine something that is so fantastic as all of that without the enabling of the Spirit of God giving you that inner confidence about it and knowing that it's going to happen, that you're going to be there, that you're going to take part in that glorious and wonderful thing that's going to happen to every believer? How could you do that? How could you have that? But by the power of God, it's a cascaded blessing because you've been justified by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now there's another thing here as we move along in cascaded blessings. We see something else that the Lord has given to us as a blessing. In verse 3, and not only so, there's more, the apostle says. Not just this, but there's more. Not only so, but we glory in tribulation also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed. We glory in tribulation, says the apostle. Now, unless somebody get the idea that this couldn't possibly be about you, because you haven't gone through what you perceive as tribulations, let me just spend a second to tell you that this tribulation in the Greek covers a lot of ground. And it covers more than just the extreme close-to-death experiences that those missionaries in early times went through when they were stoned by the enemy and when they were carried into Caesar's court and sentenced to die by being eaten by lions and so forth. It covers more ground than that, brothers and sisters. And what it covers in the Greek is it covers pressure. Stress pressure is part of that tribulation. It covers being afflicted. I mean, like, if you've got some kind of malady, it's an affliction that can be categorized as a tribulation. It covers anguish. Just being brokenhearted over something that's genuine. It covers things like being burdened by something. A heavy burden that results from the fact that you're a child of God and you're suffering under some burden that's relative to that. That's tribulation. So there's more to this than we sometimes imagine. And this third blessing says, not only so, but we glory in tribulations. Now, I don't believe that any child of God can get to the place to appreciate what Brother Paul's writing about here unless they get to the place to be able, and this word glory, by the way, if translated or used in common country boy English, would be brag. I brag about tribulations. That's what the apostle's saying. It's not like he's bragging about himself. He's bragging about the tribulations. How does that fit with Brother Paul? It fits like this. He was beaten up for the cause of Christ. And on every hand, because of his sacrifice and what he's done and what he's doing, he's abused and misused by the world and by the devil as the devil comes and attempts to throw him off center. And so in all these trials, Paul simply says, what I'm doing is saying, I've got tribulations. I'm being burdened. I'm in anguish. I'm in trials and all kinds of things because I'm standing for Christ. He's boasting on Jesus, not on himself. And until a child of God gets to the place that he can brag on Jesus, I don't think he can feel what Brother Paul felt when he wrote these lines. But think about what he's saying. What stories do you suppose that old Peter told his fellow believers when he that night was asleep in jail and the angel came in and all the doors of the jail fell open and he whacked Peter on the side and said, get up and follow me. We're out of here. And Peter walked out, finds himself outside the prison and goes to where the church members are congregated and knocks on the gate and gains admission to the house. What stories do you suppose he told about that event? I'm sure he had a lot of things to tell, but I'll tell you one thing that he told. He said, you know, I was beaten up by these people and I was jailed by them, but an angel set me free. Praise God. Look how the angel exhibited the power of Christ and set me free. He boasted about the tribulation that he was going through and what the Lord did about it. And that is what the apostle is talking about. I'm sure that Brother Paul did the same thing when he and Silas were in the jail at Philippi and they were singing and praising at midnight, and all of a sudden there came a great shaking and the bars, the doors of the prison were opened and so forth. And all that experience that he went through, I believe that he left that jail bragging about how it was a great and wonderful privilege to suffer for the Lord's sake. But glorying or bragging about trials or burdens or trouble or pressure, I believe, can only come to us when we really do realize that things like that work patience. And that patience broadens the benefit of our experience. And that patience builds hope. And our confident expectancy of the fulfillment of the promise of the Lord increases. When that happens, when we see it and feel it building patience and experience growing upon us, and that enabling us to know more and understand more about the Lord and our purpose in His great plan. Then I think we can say, I can brag about stretches. I can brag about things that come to me in the way of burdens and trials for the Lord's sake. Now, I think what happens is we get mixed up and embroiled a lot of times in burdens and trials and anguish and stuff that comes from our own blundering around and falling into mistakes. And let's not confuse what we're talking about here. Those kinds of things, the Apostle Peter calls them suffering as an evildoer. And we know what comes of that. You're not going to get any happiness, and there's no way you can brag about that. And you're going to only feel some kind of depression. Listen, when you stand for the truth and live for the truth and walk in the truth and you're of the truth and you're ready to stand up for it in public and in private and you live for the Lord and try to as best you know how, the tribulation will come and you can brag about it. And that's what you will do. And that's a great blessing, a cascading of blessings from us to us from the Lord as a result of justification by faith. It's one of those cascaded blessings that we can have. Let's find it. Let's find a reason to say, you know, these things are coming up and whacking me in the head, but I know it's because I'm standing for the Lord. And hey, it's great to be tried when I'm tried for the name of the Lord, for His sake and His honor and His glory. All right, let's go on. We see something else in verse 5. Let's look at it and see that it is also one of those cascaded blessings of the Lord. And hope makes not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. As soon as ever tribulations start having their proper impact upon the children of God, love begins to expand for the Lord inside of us. We begin to see how that, regardless of the tribulations, the Lord takes care of us. He does what we need, and He is what we need. And when we depend on Him for what we need, those tribulations become gracious things that build us in the faith and increase our hopefulness toward the coming day of the Lord. Listen, there's nothing like being beat up by the world to start making you long for heaven, brothers and sisters. And every time some tribulation comes because you're standing for the truth, it just builds one more brick in that great wall of comfort and faith and hope in the Lord Jesus Christ and in the confident expectancy. That's what hope is, of Him coming to redeem you completely. And so we find that our verse tells us that we find the love of God shed abroad in our hearts as one of those cascading blessings from God. What kind of a cold and indifferent and loveless and self-serving persons would we be without this love of God growing within us? What would we be, brothers and sisters? Imagine the worst, close, covetous, vile kind of person that you can imagine. And that's what we'd be without the love of God growing in our hearts. But this verse says more than just growing in our heart. It says this love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. And the phraseology there tells us that love of God grows to such an extent in us that it can't help but come out in expressions in what we do and who we are in the world. And so the love of God, this wonderful cascaded blessing, becomes something that manifests itself out toward others in our lives. What a wonderful thing that we have from God, the kind of growth of love that it is shed abroad or goes out. And we get a heart that's all about expressing love, showing, acting out love in our lives. I want to tell you something, brothers and sisters. There's nothing that will mark you out as a child of God more than to allow the Spirit of God to show you the route for expressing love, for the love of God shedding abroad, being shed abroad in our hearts to the outward world. This will work something nothing else will. This will grow your expressions of love. We often use the term charity, and it's a good word. It will grow your charity because you'll find yourself willing and ready to give more, and God will give you places and opportunity to give more in little ways, in big ways, than ever before, as certain as you understand this cascaded blessing from God. There's an old German proverb that says, charity gives itself rich. Charity gives itself rich. But covetousness hoards itself poor. That sound right? I believe it does. I believe it is the truth of God. Charity gives itself as God gives, as God gave, and by that becomes rich. The giver becomes rich from giving. But the hoarder, the covetous, hoards and as a result becomes poor in all things. Listen, brothers and sisters, we don't want a bunch of Ebenezer Scrooges walking around on this planet that are Christians. We don't want that. We want to grow in the love of God. The apostle tells us that now abideth faith, hope, and charity. And that the chief of these is that charity or that love. And we need to remember that because it is part of the cascaded blessings come down to us from God. And this verse says something else too. Look at it again and see that it says, love of God shed abroad in our hearts. Notice this phrase, by the Holy Ghost which is given unto us. Think about the fact that the Holy Spirit of God is God's gift to you from Himself. God had no intent to leave you alone to wander through this bleak world and make your own way by hook or by crook, by whatever method or means that you could think of from this old brain. But when He saved you, when He justified you by faith, He sent His Holy Spirit into your heart crying, Father, Father. And that Holy Spirit communes continuously with God the Father and with you if you don't shut Him out, if you don't stop listening to Him. He communes with us. And in leading us where He leads us, He's doing the will of the Father with our lives. And He's doing the things that are best for us. He is that gift from God by which we can be what we want to be in the Lord and do what we want to do in the Lord. All we've got to do is recognize His presence and follow the leading of His presence. This is one of the great cascading gifts of God from justification by faith. Now we can read on in our verses and see that the Lord sets the stage for showing us the sixth thing in this cascade of blessings by reading on down from here to verse 9. So let's read this and see the next cascaded blessing we want to think about. Notice that He says, for when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. That last phrase is the next cascaded blessing I want to point you to. And I want us to be reminded this morning that we are saved by being justified by faith. One of the blessings that we have received from God is we are saved from the wrath to come. Now listen. This is a wonderful, a great, a glorious truth of God. Because have you ever thought, Have you ever thought of being one of the people who are going to be there before the white throne of God, facing the wrath of God, the wrath of the God who has all power? Think for just a moment of the terror of that hour. Think for just a moment of the awfulness of what is about to fall upon Him who is prostrate before the great white throne as the great King of the universe, the Creator of all, pronounces judgment upon Him and says, "Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you." Imagine the terror of that hour as the wrath of God falls upon such as who have not believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now contrast yourself with that person. Can you see what a wonderful blessing from justification by faith you have received from God, in that He has saved us from the wrath to come? Saved us from wrath through the Lord Jesus Christ. Now there's a seventh and eighth cascaded blessing we see in verse 10. Let's look at it. "For if when we were enemies we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more being reconciled we shall be saved by His life." The first thing that we see here is that we are, as the verse puts it, reconciled to God by the death of His Son. Reconciled to God by the death of His Son. I don't know how to best illustrate what a wonderful cascaded blessing that is, except by just illustrating it with an example that you can identify with here among in the land of human beings. Here's the way I want you to see this. You own property and you own a nice house and you've got a family all tucked in there at home, except one teenage boy who's out somewhere because he's got permission to be out there. And you're tucked in and safe in your home, and this drunken, drug-addicted, murderous, insane man breaks into your house and beats all of your children to death and leaves. And the law catches up with him after a while and makes the accusation of what he's done, the awfulness of killing all of your children, beating them to death brutally, and leaving them in their own blood in their own house. The law catches up with him. He goes to court and is tried and is found guilty of multiple murders, your children. And so they set a day for execution. And on the day of execution, you take your oldest son who was out that night, the only one left alive, and you go to the scene of the execution, down to the prison. You are waiting down there in the waiting area when the sheriff and the guards bring the guilty man in, walk him down there in chains to put him in the death chamber and execute him. And you get up as the sheriff and the violent, wicked man comes in the vicinity of where you are. And you face the sheriff and you face the guards and you say, "I would like to give you my son to go into this death chamber in this man's stead, because I want this man and I to make peace with one another and be friends." Brothers and sisters, I've just illustrated what God did while we were yet sinners, even while we were enemies. Christ died for the ungodly. And that little parable illustrates exactly what God has done. While we were yet enemies, God caught the sheriff and the guard at the death chamber and said, "I want to give my son that this vile murderer, this drunkard, this addict, this violent person may go free and live and be friends with me. That's what our God did. What kind of blessing is that? What kind of blessing? It's a blessing of God to us as unworthy sinners, saved by the grace of God, justified by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. One last thing. We see it in the last verse we want to look at, verse 11. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ. What in the world does it mean that a vile, wicked, unworthy sinner can find joy in God, the thrice holy God? What in the world kind of miracle has happened, brothers and sisters, that we who are unworthy to even think upon heaven, much less look up into heaven, much less come boldly to the throne of grace, much less call upon God and say to Him, Father, what kind of miracle has happened that we can with joy contemplate this kind of relationship with the great God of heaven? It is a cascaded blessing from God as a result of being justified by faith. We have all these things from God because we have been justified by faith.